At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Monday, and that means it's time for the Wrestling Inc. Monday Night Raw after show, and have we got a show for you. Cody and Roman are making movies. Bronson and Braun are tearing down the house, and Jey Uso's yeeting all over that Intercontinental Championship. Before we get into all of that, allow me to introduce the crew. I'm Jack Farmer, being joined by our guest host, Flobo Boyce, and Jimmy Corderis, the man that proves that as great as the beautiful Greece beaches are, they're not as good as chatting with Jack Farmer on a Monday because he came back. Jimmy Corderis, how was the trip, buddy?
The trip was fantastic, but I'm glad to be back on this continent only because of the driving.
Oh.
I got to tell you this. First of all, if you're in Athens, do not rent a car and drive. You can get anywhere by bus and the metro. That's all, you know, the underground. Do not drive. Because they're nuts. I thought it was bad. I thought it was bad here in Toronto and LA and all those places. No.
Yeah. You are Greek. So you went back to the homeland. It was like, they're nuts. Is that really what happened?
Yeah, man. But here's the worst part. We did some island hopping. So on the islands, they always tell you, you know, go to this little village. It's very nice. Go to this little village. It's really nice. There's cafes. There's nice taverns. Taverna. And stuff like that over there. So we did that, rented car, started going. But you're winding through these mountains in what they call two-lane roads, but they're about a lane and a half.
And exchange rate.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And you've got cliff on one side going up and cliff on the other side going down. And the locals drive like they're used to it, so it's nothing for them. Like I'm riding the brake up and down the hill and stuff like this. It was scary, man.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, we're glad to have you back. Glad you didn't fall off the cliff. You know,
exactly.
Jimmy, you'd be proud. There is something that's kind of a medal of honor for us here at Wrestling Inc., but you don't get it until you're gone. And that's when people ask, where is so-and-so? And they get all upset that they haven't seen him in a while. Where Jimmy? We had many people. Where's Jimmy Corderis? Why isn't he here? And I said, why don't you follow him on social media, you fake fans? You'd know where he was if you were following Jimmy Corderis on social media. So, Jimmy, everyone missed you, and we're glad you're back.
Well, I'm glad to be back, guys. I miss this a lot.
Well, Flobo Boyce, you're back, too.
Yeah,
not as excited.
I know. Hashtag LeBar section.
Thanks for coming through. I'm glad that we get to chat about some pro wrestling tonight. This is going to be a fun episode. I got a feeling that the rails are just in the distance. We're not going to be on the rails much today, I don't think. But we got a lot to cover here. I want a lot of folks in the chat, by the way. I'm trying to keep up with y'all. Appreciate everyone coming through already. We're going to have a strong show. What are you laughing at?
I just love the comment. Plato versus Socrates, the student has become the teacher. No!
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Let's talk about some news. It's football season here in America. And by the way, I got to brag. Flobo and I are actually in a fantasy football league together. And, you know, I thought I was going into a good game this week. I was going to win if the other team's quarterback didn't do a good job. Well, they had Josh Allen. And for those who are watching Monday Night Football, the guy scored a touchdown and another touchdown and another touchdown and another touchdown. I was like, oh, my goodness gracious, I'm going to lose because this amazing performance. They took him out and didn't let him play the final quarter. So I won by one measly point because he didn't play. Yes, Jack Farmer does it again.
If you think Jack Farmer's insufferable now, imagine playing fantasy football with the guy. Because I'm in the league too. Jeez.
I had to send a text out with a little celebratory emoji. But anyways, that's not what this news story is about. The news story is about Seth Rollins, who this past weekend was tossed onto the field and ejected from the Chicago Bears game with the Indianapolis Colts. The incident occurred after the former champ was thrown into the field by an ex-Colts wide receiver, T.Y. Hilton, suggesting that an angle is brewing between the pair. However, Rollins took to X following the incident to let everyone know that he was unhappy about the situation, tweeting, quote, "I hate football." Flobo, I don't think there's going to be a angle here. I think that's just, I think this was just some fun between a couple of guys who are fans of their teams. Did you see this? This was a fun little thing that happened.
It was, but like, since Rollins supports the Bears, he says I hate football every time they lose, which has been really often over the past 2.5 seasons. So
it's almost like a you know what that means tweet at this point.
Well, it could be worse. He could be a Titans fan like myself, but anyway.
Wait, what is that serious? I saw that in the chat. Are you actually a Titans fan?
Yeah.
Is it because of the Oilers? No, that's the difference.
Yes, Oilers. Yes. Yeah, okay. Because I was an old Houston Oilers fan back in the day with Robert Brazil, Dan Pastorini, Billy White Shoes Johnson, and, of course, the most underrated and underappreciated running back of all time, the great Earl Campbell, who had thighs the size of tree trunks.
And Jack loves thighs.
I'm a thigh guy. Yeah,
but he was so over, you know, with the mainstream, and not only that, with Hollywood. Richard Pryor even did a bit about him in his act. Wow. Where he said that he'd be running through the line, put his head down, cover that ball. There'd be three or four linebackers and defensive backs hanging on him. And they'd be yelling in his ear, "Please, Earl, go down. My kids are watching on TV. Please go down."
I had no idea you're a Titans guy. Cool.
This was fun. I really enjoyed this little segment here. I think they were just having some fun. Mm-hmm. And good for Seth. I was actually mostly excited to see Seth was so mobile. He seemed like he was moving around just fine. I know he's had some injury issues he's had to take care of, and I don't know what they are or the serious nature of them, but it was like, hey, that's pretty cool. So I'm happy to see it. Football is fun. It's a fun time in the United States when your team is winning or when the Bears are losing, if you're not Seth Rollins. But there's some backstage news about the Lucha Brothers and WWE. Fightful reports that the WWE sources denied the brothers had been signed, with one indicating that Phoenix is still under contract to AEW, though AEW sources wouldn't confirm his contract status. PWI, meanwhile, reports that both Phoenix and Penta are still signed to AEW, and that while there's strong mutual interest between them and WWE, they cannot legally have signed anything yet. Both reports agree that the Lucha Brothers are still expected to sign with WWE, with Fightful noting that neither WWE or AEW has responded to official inquiries about the two wrestlers. Jimmy, How many more of these reports are we going to read about the Lucha Brothers and WWE before it happens?
It's incredible. It goes on and on and on. And the report was they had already signed. Now It's not, they haven't signed because they can't sign because they're still signed with AEW. All these reports are just making me go, all right, I want to pull out what's left of my hair. But, you know, I think it's an inevitability. It sounds like, at least anyways. But, hey, you know, as someone who has sat on information before, because there was a little while, just a few months ago, where a prominent WWE superstar had re-signed for 5 years. And I knew that from having a conversation with him, just chit-chatting. And all these reports are out that, his contract is coming up. What's happening? Is he going to re-sign? And I'm looking at it going, guys, he's already signed. But I'm not going to say it. You know what I mean? But, you know, it is what it is. It's kind of like the Warner Brothers Discovery deal. It's going to be an ongoing thing until it actually happens.
So, right.
I don't know. Instead of reporting on it every other day, but every other hour. You know,
right.
Just let it go and wait till it happens.
Yeah, Flobo, it's one of those things. I get it. You want people to read articles and everyone wants to know what's going on. It's kind of, I feel like it's kind of one of those vicious spirals where it's like, there's no news. Everyone wants news. You say what the status is, and yeah, it just keeps going in circles and circles. I've got a feeling Lucha Brothers will eventually be in WWE, but I don't know if we need everyone making these news stories every day.
I just like how Jimmy just said he almost died while driving, and it's the Lucha Brothers that makes him pull his hair out. He's like, I can't take it anymore. I'm done.
I've got two hands on the wheel. I can't pull it out.
This is madness.
Well, you got to be like me, Jimmy. You drive with your knee while you're texting and eating. That's how you do it.
Oh, for texting and eating is fine, but for driving on a mountain, that's a different story.
As I'm driving down the 405 on here in California,
just swerving.
Yeah. I swerve when I drive. We got Rhea Ripley. She was on a podcast. It was the it was Casual Conversations podcast. Big fan of Casual Conversations, by with the classic. Classic, a great follow, by the way. Good, big fan of him. Asked Rhea Ripley who she'd pick for a Survivor Series War Games team. And she said, quote, it'd be me. I want to say it would probably be Bianca, Jade, get the team, the tag champs. Who else would I pick? I feel like I would. It's hard because they don't get along. I would have said Io and Kyrie because Io's been in a few and like, well, she's been in a lot and she's won a lot of War Games as well. And then Kyrie's just, she doesn't ever give up. She smashed her face on the announce table and just continued to go. So, Rhea Ripley, she picks herself, Bianca, Jade, Io, and Kyrie for her War Games team. That is a stacked team, possibly an unbeatable team. But Flobo, I ask you, if you had to put together a team to face this monster team, who would you put in your War Games team?
So, this is kind of hard because, like, if I wish I could pick like legends, but it has to be right now, right? For 2 months.
Yeah.
So I can't be like, yeah, man, Wendy Richter. And, you know,
I mean, you could, it wouldn't go very well.
No, buy the ticket. No, the Jumping Bomb Angels. Okay. I'm a deep cut. So you got to have Liv Morgan there. She's going to be the anti re. I'm doing the anti team. You're going to have Liv Morgan there. You got to have, Unholy Alliance or Unholy Union getting their revenge. So Alba Fire, Isla Dawn to take on Kyrie Neo. You got Nia Jax to take on Jade Cargill because she beat her in the Queen of the Ring tournament. And I will get the call from Ms. Jada Parker to take out Bianca. So that's my group right there. So Unholy Union, Liv Morgan, Bianca, Nia Jax, and that's it.
So Unholy Union, Nia Jax, Liv Morgan, and Jada Parker. Strong team going up against Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, Io Sky, and Kyrie Sane. Jimmy, you're the referee. And everyone in the chat, you can jump in. But Jimmy, you're the referee. Who wins?
Wow. That's a tough one.
Call it down the middle.
Do I have to call it down the middle? I can't use my referee's discretion. I mean, it seems to be the thing lately. So if I had to pick. Let's see, it is, you're talking about the Survivor Series match, right? In the cage, two rings, the whole bit.
War games.
Man. It's hard to pick anybody against that has a team with Nia on it, but I would go with Ripley because Rhea's team has, like you said, I think Flobo put it nicely. Those are five ladies that can really go.
Well, Jimmy, this is a little awkward, but you're wrong. That's the wrong team. they <don't...
laughs> Hey, I've been away for a while. Give me a break. I mean,
clearly, everyone in the chat, let us know who you guys think would win in this Flobo's team or Rhea Ripley's team. In fact, put that in the comments as well. Which team do you think would win if that war game situation happened? I'd like to see it. I think that'd be a fun one. By the way, we got a lot of... we got a lot of folks here saying that they're here for Jimmy Corderas. Frankie, true, by the way, saying, I'm here for Jimmy K. So, Jimmy, just another example of how good it is to have you back. Max Feldman saying, haven't seen Jimmy in a while. Glad you're back. So we're all glad you're back, Jimmy. But it's always nice to hear people who aren't paid to say it, you know?
Yikes.
Hey, you're stealing my gimmick. I'm the paid shill here, remember? Looking for a Legends deal, remember? Come on, that's me.
Aren't we all?
Yeah,
bro. Jack got a who's Jack Farmer? Why Cody, speaking of deals, Cody Rhodes, impressive merchandise milestone. Fanatics CEO Michael Rubin personally commended Rhodes for his history-making sales figures. He is now a top five all-time Fanatics salesperson. Jimmy, that is something that no other wrestler ever has done. That's including Hulk Hogan. That's including Stone Cold. Cody Rhodes, I mean, we talk about star power. This is about as undeniable as you could be. What are your thoughts on this guy breaking records that even the great Stone Cold wasn't able to break?
This is very surprising to me because in the age of 2024, you know, a white meat baby face like Cody Rhodes, you know, there's that old adage, it doesn't work. It's not going to work now. That's too old school. But they're showing us that it still can work if you got the right guy doing it the right way and you got the right team behind pushing him the right way. So it is working, and congrats to him and congrats to everybody involved. It just goes to show you that it doesn't have to. It's that old adage that I keep saying that the wheel, when it was invented, it was made of stone and then it was wood and then rubbers and then it's run flat tires and vulcanized rubber and all that stuff. At the end of the day, the wheel is round because if it's not round, you can't move forward. And I get that you have evolution, but at the same time, we haven't seen this old school approach in so long. Maybe it's the nuance of having that old school, like I said, white meat baby face in there that's people are gravitating to. And he's gravitating to a larger audience as opposed to just a niche audience. It's across the board, you know, kids, teenagers, older folks, old farts like me. You know, they're all on board. La Greca, I mean, everybody.
Yeah, it's a great point about how it's something that I feel like a lot of, we haven't had in such a long time. Because even John Cena, while he was clearly a good guy, would always have his raps and do his things every now and again as well. But Flobo, it does make me think about how, like, action movies, it used to be all big buff muscle guys, and then John McClane came around, and he was your average guy that would get beat up for 2 hours and then eventually get the win. And then suddenly the Matrix comes around and he's a guy who never gets hit because he just moves and he changes the way action looks. Eventually we get to like superheroes and how that evolved. Do you think Cody is just the next evolution in sort of this series of what we look to for a hero?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you want to, in the scheme of merchandise, yeah, his stuff is cool. It's red, white, and blue, and it's kind of hard to pull off because American Alpha is trying that, or American Made is trying that, but it actually works for Cody. But taking a step back, this is the evolution of having your baby faces. You go back to John Cena just 20 years ago, his thing was never giving up, and that's a good story to have, but it can be very saccharine of someone who's really going through it, right? Now you have Cody Rhodes, who is a good guy, but he also has the shadow of people comparing him to his dad the entire time. So even he's a white meat baby face, there's still a bit of that arc to latch onto. We've all been in situations where everyone says, you're lucky, you're here because of this or because of that. That's universal. And so everyone buy in. I became a Cody Rhodes fan, I hate to say it, when he came back to WWE because it had the footage and the imagery of Dusty next to him going, yeah, I'm still going my own journey. So props to him, man.
Yeah, I think there's something to him, like it's a real, very real story he's going through. Cody Rhodes may have, when all said and done, the best life documentary of a pro wrestler ever when they look back at like what his journey and what he's been through and everything he's done. So I'm happy for him. And just as a wrestling fan, I'm happy because it means that wrestling's doing well. Baby Eye says, you better mention Chuck Norris, Jack. Chuck Norris was in a league of his own. I mean, you can't compare anyone to that guy. I mean, the beard, the cowboy hat, the cowboy boots, the spin kicks. I mean, come on.
Are you going to see Walker, Texas Ranger? That was a banger.
I mean, come on. How do you top that? But we have some news about Bad Blood in the main event. According to a new report from Fightful Select, the working plan internally in WWE is to have Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns tag team match against the Bloodline close the show. According to the outlet, that's due in part to the fact that Rhodes is from Atlanta, Georgia, and is set to have the University of Arkansas at Pine Bluffs marching band play his entrance theme on his way to the ring. Reigns also has ties to the area, as we've seen in Friday's SmackDown vignette, which we'll talk about in just a second. Flobo, now you cover SmackDown. So you know all about what's going on with Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes. Of course, it's pretty big story going on with Drew McIntyre and CM Punk, and they've got the cage and everything else. What are your thoughts on the main event? Do you think Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns is the right call, or do you go with the story that's culminating?
Unfortunately, it's the right call, because you have the WWE champion, the tag team match, and you have the storyline that is, has like this chapter that's been going on for 4 or 5 years. And if I'm a casual fan buying a ticket, these are two talents I want to see. We just talked about how much of an impact Cody is. That said, it is called the Bad Blood, and the ones with the most bad blood are two guys in the Hell in the Cell. But we all know that WWE usually puts that up first or like right before the main event, so it won't seem too jarring. So I'm fine with it.
J.R. Smith says Stone Cold hasn't had a run since the Fanatics deal. Only a one-off. Stone Cold is still the top 10 WWE merch sales. Don't bring in your statistical facts with, to mess up my shiny headlines.
Hey, leave Dave Smith alone.
But Jimmy Corderas, do you believe that? Do you think that's the right call? I mean, both are big stories. Of course, that's Cody Rhodes' hometown. That all makes sense. Feels like the Punk Drew story is the bigger moment right now. Do you think that's the right way to close it? What do you think should close the show?
Well, if you think about it, Cody and the Bloodline and Roman and the Bloodline, the new Bloodline, is a big story as well. There is bad blood there. And yeah, so, but the fact that Punk and Drew are in the Hell in a Cell match, I know that's very attractive to have it on last. But I think there's going to be a lot going on in the Cody Roman versus the Solo Jacob match that will leave a cliffhanger. I think that's the reason why that's going to go on last. It has to go on last because you got arguably your two biggest stars, your two biggest baby faces. And that's one of my complaints that's been going on for a long time, that some companies don't put their biggest stars on where they belong, which is in the main event slot. Yes, Drew and Punk is a huge, huge deal. This could be the blow off to their feud finally. But at the same time, you got to put your champion and all those guys where they belong.
So, yeah, we're going to talk all about that and all about WWE Raw. But as always, I want to thank everybody who's joined us here today. Like, comment, share, subscribe, 5-star review on Apple. Leave a little comment there as well. But leave a little comment in the YouTube page or on the Facebook or the Twitch, wherever you're watching. That always helps our SEO, which stands for, I don't know, I'm not a computer guy.
So do we have to do the SEO?
SEO. Flobo, do the dance.
That's not a dance. There's no algorithmic dance.
I want to thank all of our co-hosts here in the chat. We got Jeroy J, Digital Future Stock, and you, Dustin Engel, Baby Ice, Rob Mowring. We got Frankie, as I called out earlier, Stressla, Max Feldman, as well. We've got, by the way, Jose Topete. Today is my birthday. Happy birthday, Jose.
Happy birthday.
Good to see you in low vision technology, Tuck Graf, and everyone else. So many of you guys in here. I wish we could get Reaper, Brink, Killer of Demons, Danny Cochran, so many folks, King Art, Maria, everybody. I appreciate y'all being here. Scorpio Coil, haven't seen you in the chat before. Thanks for coming through. That's a killer name, Scorpio Coil. Are you? That's a pro wrestler name.
Isn't your middle and last name Cobra Farmer? That matches.
My middle name is Cobra. At least that's what I tell people.
Hey, I gotta say, this Digital Future guy, if you're gonna troll me on here, please spell my name right.
Oh yeah.
Jeez, come on.
Like Kevin Courageous, like Cordy Carey.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jack Farmer with the Wrestling Inc. podcast, and a few years back, WWE sold a New Day-themed kit where people could make unicorn horn-shaped popsicles. They don't make them anymore, but you can still make your own popsicles, even without the kit, and get top-tier hydration in the process. In these post-SummerSlam dog days, Liquid IV is offering refreshing summer flavors like Popsicle Firecracker and Rainbow Sherbet to keep you cool and give you three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus eight essential vitamins and nutrients. Liquid IV is always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Tear, pour, live more. One stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. It's great for a road trip to No Mercy or watching All In at home. Indulge in hydration this summer with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code WRESTLE at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code WRESTLE at liquidiv.com.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
We've got a lot to talk about here for Raw, but we had, and I want to start with something we got from SmackDown, something we don't see very often, and that is the Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes cinematic. Jimmy, now, Flobo's had a chance to talk about this. Mm-hmm. We haven't had a chance to talk about this. Jimmy, how did you feel about this cinema, this movie that they put together? Just talk about the presentation, the story, everything. Let me know.
I actually enjoyed it very much. I thought it was well produced. It looked like a Hollywood feature film. And you talk about cinema, and I know a lot of people say, "Ah, cinema, we don't want cinema in wrestling." But this helped tell their story and added so many layers to it with different things. You know, Roman coming in like a presidential cavalcade with those black SUVs, and then Cody coming in with it, what looked like a pearl white Mustang. You know, it was cool. And the camera angles following them walking to center field in Georgia Tech there. I loved everything about it. The drone shots, the verbiage, the back and forth. You can argue. I know there's a lot of argument. Well, who's the babyface in this thing? Because they don't seem to get along. It doesn't matter at this point. The point is they've got you hooked and they got me hooked. I'm curious to see what happens now. Now, I'm not going to say can they coexist, but will they have each other's back going into Bad Blood? And that's part of the story. They made me want to see what happens.
This is my thing. I said, who's the good guy, who's the bad guy, whatever. I always say this. If you like them and you're cheering for them, they are the good guy. I know a lot of people want to say, like, I'm cool, I like the bad guy. If you like them, they're the good guy. These are just two different flavors of good guy. They're both the good guys here. Flobo, I want your thoughts on that. I want to just maybe give us a sum of your thoughts for people who maybe didn't hear what you had to say on Friday. And also the big question after seeing this I have, are we going to see the return of the match type what we really want? And that is the cinematic match.
Yeah, that was basically what we were talking about on Friday. I was like, because I thought the first time I saw it, they were going to have a dust up, right? Let's get our aggressions out and then we'll take on, I don't know why they would do that in the middle of a football field, but that's how I think it was going. And I think there's still room for that in certain cases, maybe not something as big as like a Firehouse Funhouse match, but like a Hollywood Backlot Brawl or the Final Beat, things like that. I do think that's going to happen. The cinematic thing worked. I liked it. It felt like a CW scene, no offense, even though it's an NXT show now. But the thing is, this is a problem, and that's a very weird problem to have, is that you put Roman and Cody on one side, I think they're going to roll over Solo. Maybe take up by two, get some hits in there. So now, if I'm the Bloodline, you have about a week and a half to really show me that you're going to come out on top.
Yeah, it does feel a little unfair, Cody and Roman on one team. It's kind of like it feels like Thor and Superman coming together to fight the bank robber. Where you're what am I supposed to do? I'm a bank robber. I can't do anything to stop you.
Right.
Yeah, it's interesting that you went Marvel and DC there, that coexisting. I know.
I messed it up.
Nerds.
I know there are people. I know there are people in the chat going, I can't believe he did that. The other thing too, I forgot to mention though, I love the fact that they didn't do it in front of an audience. I was talking about this over the weekend with a buddy of mine, and I said I love that they didn't do it in front of an audience, because in a moment like that, not that they would intentionally try to hijack that moment, but there would be so much noise from the crowd that that moment would be lost between the two.
My favorite part about it, like in the broader picture, is that WWE is in a place now, and we've seen it with their different camera cuts and the way they're doing entrances sometimes and things like that, where they are trying things and they're doing new things. And they're not just doing little things. This probably cost them a couple bucks. This is pretty expensive, I have a feeling. They're taking these risks and they're doing these things to be try different things, seeing what sticks. I love that they're doing that, because of course we've had years and years of years where this is how it looks, this is how it's going to be, and it's going to be that way every single time. And I like that they're trying new stuff. That's my actual favorite part about this whole thing. Plus, it was just pretty cool to see. Mm-hmm. I loved it. I thought it was a really good thing. Baby Ice says, one demerit for Jack for franchise crossover. Listen, Baby Ice. I don't care about whether it's DC or Marvel. I pick the two hunks. That's right.
That's two demerits. Judge my physical. That's two.
That's a citation.
I can't believe I came back for this.
Yeah, I warned you guys that the rails were not going to be involved.
You're right.
Last thing on this, Reaper Brink says Cody is not turning heel. I got to say this. I know they were talking about this on Busted Open and some other place. Everyone talks about, like, what if the fans turn on Cody? No one's turning on Cody. Cody's going to be just fine. I think if you know Cody Rhodes fans, no one's turning on Cody. He'll be just fine.
If it does happen, it's a long way down the road, so not even bother talking about it. It doesn't make sense right now.
Mm-hmm. Scorpio Coil, though. Cobra Farmer is a wrestling name. I think Scorpio Coil and Cobra Farmer should be the tag team champions, Scorpio. I think we'd be unbeatable. Unless we face Thor and
Banker Armors.
We would be the bank robbers.
I totally remember what you're going to say.
We would be the bank robbers. That'd be great. Let's talk about the actual show. Let's talk about what really went down. And the biggest thing, I think, probably the shocking thing, I don't even really have a lot of notes here. Bron Breakker, Jey Uso, Intercontinental Championship. Breakker talked some trash earlier in the night. Sammy pumps up Jey Uso. Incredible matchup. Jey Uso with the win. Jimmy Corderas, what a night to come back. I think this shocked everybody. What a match. What a moment. Jey Uso, Intercontinental Champion. First singles championship of his 14-year WWE career.
That's interesting. I'm surprised it happened tonight. But hey, you know what? I guess Rikishi does have a little pull. I don't know. No, I'm kidding, Keish. I'm kidding, Us.
14 years? Is that really pulled? It was like a decade and a half.
Oh, wow.
I'll put a good word for you, bro. 10 years.
But no, a little bit surprising, because I thought they were going to give Bron Breakker a little bit of a longer title reign. And that's why I was curious why Jey Uso at this time challenging. He's obviously he's over big time. He's one of those guys that doesn't need a championship, but he needed a big win sooner or later because, you know, you're running that risk of the fans turning on the, you know, the head of the yeet flies. So, you know, it caught me off guard. It really did. I thought maybe they would prolong this a little bit, not his first attempt at the Intercontinental Championship, but it is what it is. It happened. The fans seem happy, but I'm just curious what's next for Bron Breakker.
Yeah, Flobo, that's kind of my question. Really, for both of them, is this something... first off, did you like the match? Did you like the outcome? But yeah, what is next for these guys? I got a feeling they're going to run it back, as the kids say.
They do say that.
But like, what? Where do you go from here? I mean, in the moment, I'm happy. In the moment, I'm excited. This was a crazy thing. Was it the right decision, and where do they go?
What was the right decision? I'm going to say no for now, but I do like what they're doing. And this is where I hate the fantasy book. You know me, Jack, as long as you've known me, I'm always like, whatever. But I just opened up a whole world of possibilities with Jey Uso being the Continental Champion. Now, Bron Breakker is the unpredictable badass. If you still call him that, then that Cole has left. He can go up and down the card will need be. He'll definitely get that rematch. I definitely will print money. But imagine if Roman Reigns with the Jey Uso for War Games help, and as a champion, he says no. Like, you come to me. I actually earned for my family. What have you done? That scene would be so cool. That's the first thing I saw. I thought of when the match happened. Or the second thing. The first thing was like, oh my gosh, a title change on TV. That never happens. But the second thing was like, I can imagine Roman being on his knee, being like, oh, Jay, I need your help. So I'm happy with it, even though at first I wasn't.
You know, that actually brings up a great point, Jimmy. Now, before, if Jay had nothing and Roman Reigns came to him, it would look a little bit like, hey, without the bloodline, you're nothing. Now you need to come back and help me. But now it is, as Roman said, he's got nothing. And Jey Uso could be like, look, I've been fine without you, or now you need me. And it does change the dynamic between them. I think Flobo, rarely right, but I mean,
you think it's super kicked? What's the barbershop window?
As sure as Jey Uso winning, Flobo with an interesting point. I mean, that does change that entire dynamic in that situation, does it not? I mean, I'm more and more excited about this.
Yeah, it does change that dynamic, and there's also other members of the family involved that we haven't seen for a little while, like Jimmy Uso. Where's Jimmy Uso been? When he returns, that'll be a big surprise. I'm glad that they're keeping it under wraps for now. And there are probably others in the family that will show up sooner or later as well, because as we know, that family tree keeps growing branches. So, you know, but when they do show up, which side of the fence will they show up for, or who will they back? That'll be the interesting part.
I got to say, something I took away from this matchup before we move on is, not a safe place to be in the timekeepers area these days. I mean, I feel like timekeepers area is almost as dangerous as the ring, man. They get invaded just about every week lately.
Set a stitch you up. Hey, you want to be a timekeeper this week? Sure. Oh, no.
Just have one of the extras do it.
Right. Yeah. Hey, extra, you want to be at the timekeeper's table? Oh, really? That sounds really cool. I'd love to. Bronson Reed comes barreling through you.
You want to sign this disclaimer?
Sure. You've never had me sign one of these before. That's interesting. Cool. It's a new thing. Scott Langford says Samantha needs a raise. Yeah, she needs hazard pay over there. Drew McIntyre comes out and cuts a pretty simple promo, says that he doesn't want to go into Hell in the Cell himself, but it's happening, Flobo. This one is I feel like this rivalry, I like the promo, kind of feels like they've said all there is to say at this point, though. What was your takeaway from this one?
Look, I understand the Ontario crowd needed something to get that story across. And I know you already had the segment with the football field, Roman and Cody, but I think this could have been done backstage. I mean, I felt like I actually tweeted about this. This felt like it could have been an email. It could have been a notes app thing, him coming out and be like, I'm going to beat you. Like I said last week, I will. Peace. And it's like, what? You wasted your time. It's going to be a Zoom. What are you doing?
That would be funny. He comes out with all the pomp and circumstance. Like, comes out like all the fireworks. And he's like, I'm still going to beat you.
I would have liked to have seen him come out, grab the mic, and go read my Twitter.
Yeah, exactly. I don't top for this.
Any thoughts from this one, Jimmy? Like I said, I liked it. I just also don't feel like I feel like the story's ready. I feel like we're good to go.
Yeah, I don't think there's much more needed to be said than what do they do next week? You still got to go home Raw before Bad Blood, so what happens then? I did like the one line that he said where he was in a few Hell in a Cell matches, and he said he's been broken from those and still hasn't been fixed or something along those lines. I'm just paraphrasing right now. I did like that line, but at the same time, I like the tone more than anything. I like the tone last week from Punk being serious. I like Drew this week, you know, again, angry, but subdued, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But, you know, not quite Jake the Snake Roberts-esque, but it was a different tone. It was okay. It was okay. It wasn't, you know, like you guys said, nothing special, nothing that couldn't have been said via email.
But I do agree. I love that he shows concern. Like, because so often it's easy for wrestling to be like, I'm not even scared of Hell in a Cell. I just want to fight you. But I think them both kind of being like, no, this is a serious thing. It does make you go, oh, man, this is a serious thing.
That's the thing. They're putting the cage over. They're putting the cell over. And that's what you need to do, because the cell is very important in this, because in that situation, there is an opportunity for them to pull objects out from under the ring. I just hope they limit if they do go that direction, because the cage match with Cody and Solo the other week, the fact that the cage was the weapon, I enjoyed that very much, because that's what the cage is supposed to be, the weapon, and also to keep people out and in.
Awesome. I would love for Cody Rhodes to be like, so what, you guys got a Hell in a Cell? I won one of those with a torn freaking pec.
Oh man, that cringe, man.
I was just thinking about it, the whole match. I was like, stop it.
Yeah. Then play cue Kurt Angle's music.
Yeah. Speaking of people coming out that weren't part of the matchup, The Miz had a match with Bronson Reed. Karrion Kross gives Miz a pep talk.
No, he didn't.
He gave a pep talk.
That was not a pep talk. Okay.
That was a pep talk.
All right, okay. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, I got a question for you in a second. Let me premise this for the rest. As Bronson Reed comes out, Braun Strowman attacks him. They continue their fight from earlier. Miz goes to the side. These guys flatten everybody, about a million security guards. Next week, Bronson versus Braun, last monster standing. Flobo, you jumped in, so I am going to give you the hard-hitting question here. Who gives a better pep talk, Sami Zayn or Karrion Kross?
I know you hate them both, so
I can't wait to hear your pick.
Cobra, I hate you. Who gives a better? That's torture for me, man. That's if I forget to like call my mother or something. You have to listen to a pep talk by one of those guys. I guess Karrion Kross, but oh my gosh, that's awful. Signing off.
So everyone in the chat, tell me that was a pep talk, right, with Karrion Kross? Because he was like, "Listen, you can do this, Miz. They don't let them think of you. You're a monster. You can get this win." I thought that Karrion Kross was being supportive. I thought he was a good friend. But Jimmy, this one was, it wasn't a match, but you know me. I love it when people get destroyed. I love mayhem. This was all of it. I love this segment. Tell me your thoughts.
I don't know. I enjoyed it too. Other than the fact that it took, like you said, several dozen security guards to get beat up for it to all happen. You know, I just, with these guys going at it the last couple of weeks, they've really built up to the match that they're having at Bad Blood. What is it? Last Monster Standing? Is that what it's called?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting name for it. They couldn't use Beast instead of Monster. I don't know. I guess Monster flows better. Well, does it? I don't know.
Jimmy, well, you're not going to like this next question. As our referee and our head official and the person who understands this kind of stuff, can you tell us the rules of a Last Monster Standing match?
The Last Monster Standing match is similar to a Last Man Standing match, which is you have to incapacitate your opponent where they can't get to their feet to answer the 10 count. So once you drop someone on their butt, on their flat on their back, that they have a 10 count to make it to their feet.
You know, if this was 2020, that match would be in like a fake city with buildings of blue. Oh, they'll beat up. It's like loving like two kaijus. It'd be great.
And I would be on Twitter getting destroyed for saying this is the greatest match I've ever seen in my life. I would have so many people upset me. This is incredible.
I don't care.
Give us the book. We'll run it to the ground. We'll run
you know
the
what? The ground. It never bothered me. Hold on. I'll say it on Twitter. I don't care.
Oh, no. It's heel Jimmy.
when they did the, what was it, the zombie match with was it Morrison and Miz?
Yeah.
I was like, this is incredible.
What a dark time that was, man.
Everyone hated it. I was like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
We would run wrestling to the ground. If we
That's it for me, ladies and gentlemen. Good night.
We would destroy wrestling.
So I do think Karrion Kross was right. Jimmy, let me ask you this. They teased a superplex and Strowman teased jumping to the outside. Now, we know pro wrestling, if you tease this stuff, you got to do it. Right. Which leads to, on Twitter, friend of the show, Haywood, at HWVIEW, HWVIEW, Haywood, a good fan of the show, said, next week, the ring has to collapse. I ask you, Jimmy, when these two behemoths battle it out, does the ring have to collapse?
It doesn't have to, but if they go on last next week, there's a good chance that they will collapse the ring. And I think it'd be a little different if they can pull it off where they go through the ring as opposed to collapse the ring.
That'd be pretty cool, too.
Yeah. If it splits in half. Little, like...
Yeah. Just, yeah.
Like kind of like Taz and Vader did back in the day. Or, oh, wow. Other, I mean, there's newer versions of that, but that's what right. I always think of. Flobo, your thought, is the ring breaking?
It sounds weird because I've been watching wrestling or SmackDown long enough to see it done twice before. I think the last time was with Braun as well, so I don't think it will be that great, but the kids haven't, so maybe I should just probably stop being an old man and let it ride.
Leonard Jones says Taz and Bigelow. Who did I say?
Vader.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm sorry. Taz and Bigelow. Yeah, that's what I meant. Taz and Bigelow. That's what I meant to say.
Would have been better with Vader and Bigelow.
I think they'd still be falling, I think, if it was supposed to be.
No, you know who needs to collapse the ring? Shockmaster. We need the Shockmaster.
My partner will shock the world tonight.
What are the greatest bits you could ever see?
Bit? That was his debut. What do you mean bit?
By the way, if you want to put a smile on your face, just Google Haku, Ming, whatever name he goes by these days, seeing that video for the first time. That'll put a smile on your face. I've never seen joy on a scary person's face the way it was on his face when he saw that. Speaking of a scary individual, Dom Mysterio shows up in a lowrider with Liv Morgan. They do a victory lap, and Liv brags about taking everything from Rhea Ripley. Ripley says she's cleared, and Dom is going to be hanging from a shark cage. Also, Rhea hits Liv, even though she promised not to. Jimmy Corderas, these are all horrible questions. Is Dom technically the greatest ladies' man in the history of WWE, having now gotten Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan, and they're fighting over him? I mean, that's a pretty good resume.
I'm still confused about the porn stash that he has, but how that works. But for me, the greatest ladies' man in WWE history has got to be the Godfather.
I mean, it is hard to argue. He's got the numbers.
different train every night, man.
Yeah. Flobo, we've all talked about the idea of having Dom in a shark cage. Him saying, by the way, I can't get locked up again, was just missed, like not missed, but like very under the radar comedy gold. That was just slipped in there the way he did. This is going to be brilliant. Him up in a shark cage. Is it not?
Those are always fun. I can't think of how many shark cage matches have I seen before. I remember Joseph Connors in NXT UK. I remember Triple H from back in the old days of SmackDown. It's always going to be shenanigans. Enzo Amore. It's always going to be shenanigans involved. So yeah, I'm in.
So this is, I think this was another fun one. This was another one. It felt like from a promo standpoint, there wasn't really a lot that came from it. Like, we kind of knew, except for adding that the shark cage is going to be added, which, again, I'm just excited to see poor Tom dangling in a shark cage. The Raptors are going to be very crowded at Bad Blood, it sounds like. There's going to be a lot of stuff up there. I wouldn't want to have to deal with all that. But we get Sami Zayn versus Ludwig Kaiser. It's a competitive matchup with Gunther's pal, and Sammy gets the win. After the match, Gunther again says no to a match. Jimmy, great matchup between these guys. Mm-hmm. What is Sammy going to have to do to get Gunther to say yes?
I keep doing what he's doing. Keep pestering him. He's got to get under his skin in some form or fashion, but Gunther doesn't look like he gets fazed very easily. That's going to be the challenge. So he's got to find some way to get under his skin and ruffle his feathers enough where he's finally going to say, okay, you want the match? You got it.
Flobo, this is something I've heard from other matches and other places, but Ludwig Kaiser is a guy who doesn't, we're all huge fans of the guy, but he doesn't exactly get a lot of dubs. He doesn't win a whole bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Sami Zayn is positioned as the guy who's likely going to get a world title shot. Was this match too competitive?
Oh, absolutely. Ludwig Kaiser needs all the opportunities and is going to be the guy in about 18 months to 2 years time. Whether or not they're going to be on the same brand as Gunther or going to SmackDown or be separate, he is the guy. So you're seeing as a preview, a star-making performance, even though it was in defeat. Sami Zayn, as I'm trying to be as objective as I can, has pretty much hit the mountaintop, and he knows where he is in his career.
So, Jimmy, last thing, this is just a little thing, but something I was kind of bummed out about with this match is, and this is where I get into the weeds of things. By the way, I don't think it was too competitive. I think this was great. I like competitive matchups. It never bothers me when it happens at other places. But and this is where I'm getting kind of in the weeds, though, is Ludwig Kaiser used that drop kick on the steps. Mm-hmm. And every other time he's used it, it's like put people on the shelf. They've lost time. They've lost weeks. But here it became one of those moments where he did it and it didn't even finish the match. What was your take on that? Do you think that eventually it has to become a regular move, or should they have kept that as sort of this is a injury causing move?
I don't think they should have used it in this situation, especially since Sammy, you know, did the magical comeback, just barely beat the count after 9. And as the referee was about to count 10, make it under the bottom rope. Something like that, that's taken everybody out. It almost makes it feel like those finishes that get, I don't know what the right word is, where, you know, there was a time where nobody kicked out of people's finishes. They established finishes and that sort of thing. But this should be something that takes people out completely. I would have been fine with Sammy losing this match via countout. I think that would have been absolutely fine. And Gunther saying, look, you can't even beat Ludwig Kaiser, and you want a shot at the world champion? You don't deserve a shot, you know, that sort of thing. And maybe even get one of those side eyes from Ludwig Kaiser, because there has been a tiny seed planted there already. So who knows? I just didn't like the fact that that he came back from it.
Yeah. It's one of those things, it doesn't really bother me, but it also is kind of like, that was the, you know, like how the concerto used to, you know, take people out forever, and then it became a thing and people come back and it's not the end of the world anymore. No. Sheamus and Pete Dunne, you know, Sheamus says that he doesn't want to make it an English Irish thing with him and Pete Dunne, but so let's weird. Make it an English Irish thing. So Pete Dunne beats him up with a cricket bat. I mean, part of me wants to be like, Sheamus, you kind of asked for it, Flobo. I mean,
yeah, he did.
He actually brought this on himself.
Well, I didn't care for it because you told me when they were together that, which is now canon because he is Butch, that they were childhood friends growing up in a weird street in England, Ireland, and now it's the English-Irish thing. Like, they didn't have conflicts for dozens of years. Like, it's kind of weird to root for that. But I don't know. It was fun.
Jimmy, do you think the idea of making this like an English-Irish thing, like... As we grow into a world where now, with especially NXT UK, we got a lot of true international stars. Mm-hmm. In the past, they faked it. But, you know, now they are actually getting people from these different parts of the world. What are your thoughts on them adding a little bit of that national pride to these different matchups. Do you think that's a good move, or do you think that's going down a dangerous road? What do you think?
That's a tough question to answer, because you know there's a lot of people that get very sensitive about those sort of things. Oh, look at, they're stereotyping these guys, you know, the Irish or the English in certain ways, and they're, you know, portraying the Irishman as a drinker and you know, walking around with a shillelagh and that sort of stuff, and Pete Dunne is the Englishman who uses a cricket bat. Which was actually, I kind of liked the cricket bat idea, because that was different and unique, you know?
Yeah.
They're heavy. So,
yeah, they are heavy. And so is Seamus. But anyway, it can be a slippery slope. But, you know, as long as it's people who are actually their nationality portraying these nationalities, I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, I try to think, it's tough because I'm in America and I've watched American wrestling my whole life, but I try to think, like, if I grew up in Japan, I'd probably have been like a huge Stan Hansen fan, big American cowboy guy. You know, I'd probably be like, go USA. You know, that's probably how I would have thought. So part of me is like, that would be kind of cool, I guess. But I don't know. I think it adds something, the national pride, Flobo.
I don't want to be like the guy who's always offended. Well, one thing, I'm from America, and I say it's, and I love Tejano Jr. That guy is a super cowboy over there. But I will say this. I think it's weird because I know Seamus is Irish, and yeah, he's fair-skinned, he's redheaded, and he says fight night all the time. And I know Pete Dunne is British, and yeah, he has not the best teeth, and he wrestles hard. But when you say English-Irish thing, they literally went to war, like recently. So it's like, why would you say that? I don't know. It took me out personally, but I know these are some of my favorites. I probably get over it, but the troubles are a real thing.
Yeah. I think you got to be a little careful with it, but so far I'm okay with it. Fernando says, wish I could be more interested, but not my cup of tea. So you're going with Seamus on this one. Not a tea guy.
Yeah, exactly. Hates tea,
bro. He's going to say it's his cup of Guinness. That's what
there you go. Pint.
His pint of Guinness.
Yes.
New Day versus American Made. See, as I was saying, by the way, I am all in on American Made.
Why?
Because they're American Made.
But there's nothing American about them. Look, American 90s Lex Luger has tried so hard to be American. These guys don't even try. They just wear American tights. There's nothing American about them.
I love it. Are you? It's saying off. Is Flobo saying they're un-American?
Yeah, the un-Americans. That was a good group. Shout out to Christian Cage.
Shout out to Lance Storm.
Who?
Listen.
Oh, wow. How
dare just you? I'm just if trolling. I can be serious for a minute.
You're always serious.
Lance Storm is one of the greatest. But this was New Day clearly still having problems. Fun back and forth with Kofi trying to be silly, but Woods saying, hey, we got to be serious. Ref loses control of this thing. Woods ends up losing. LWO tries to apologize for getting involved, but Woods isn't having it. Flobo, let me talk to you about the New Day, because a lot of people say they need to break up. A lot of people say they need to stay together. Woods said that no one respects him because he hasn't won a singles title yet in here. I think that was the small line that is going to lead us down to the future. What's your take on the New Day and potentially breaking up?
Well, wasn't Woods King of the Ring? Wasn't that his like childhood dream? He kept saying he wanted to do that, and he got it done. So that's his accolade. But in all seriousness, 10 years of wrestling is a long time. I wish it was New Day forever. I really do, because you don't see something like this happen. It won't happen again of having a group be together for this long. But without Big E, the spark was gone, and we tried to be in a holding pattern. We tried to replace them with other people we can't mention anymore, and it's not working. I hope they stay together. But if this is the beginning of the end, they've done right by them, by giving them an actual ending story. That's all you can really ask for. Big E doesn't owe me anything. I would love one more WrestleMania. But if we don't get it, this is fine.
Jimmy, I want your thoughts on all this. But also, this is what I've been waiting for you all day to ask is, rate the ref in this situation. I'd like to know your thoughts on how the ref handled himself, because obviously, part of what they were trying to do is the ref was supposed to be distracted, but do you think the ref did a good job of playing that role?
It was fair. It was fair. I know a lot of people were questioning me on social media saying, Well, with Chad Gable in the ring, wouldn't that constitute a disqualification? Mm-hmm. But Xavier Woods initiated the contact with Chad Gable and dragged him into the ring. So it wasn't Chad Gable interfering. It was Xavier Woods, exceeding his boundaries and bringing him into the ring and doing the damage that way. But as far as the ref distraction, one thing I'm getting tired of is ref distractions across the board.
Yeah.
I think they just happen way too often, and I wish they would be. And if when they do happen, I want them to happen quickly, fast, very Eddie Guerrero words, like quick flash, boom, and it's outsmarting the official as opposed to, oh, go stand over with this guy for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, I always think of the quick ref distraction thing is the ref turning around and the bad guy doing the thing where someone runs on the ropes and the guy on the outside just trips the leg real quick. You know what I'm talking about? Those quick things like that where it's just 1 second, but it still changes the outcome of the match and or the trajectory of the match. Mm-hmm. But Flobo, I saw you rolling your eyes when Jimmy was talking.
No, what Jimmy's absolutely right. I think that's right. But you being a fan of American Maine, it really ticks me off because the Creed brothers were so good. Chad Gable's so good. Together, they just bought a couple flags at Walmart and wrapped themselves around it. There's nothing American about them. It really gets me so mad. Cody Rhodes, the American Nightmare. I get that. These guys, they're team of versions of themselves.
Jimmy, I'm sorry you have to hear how Flobo is trying to throw Ivy Nile under the bus here by saying how he loves Gable, he loves the Creeds. Clearly blaming this all on Ivy Nile.
I'm afraid of Ivy Nile. That's different. I'm in fear of Ivy Nile.
There's the headline. That's the headline.
America. I'm all for America, baby. Let's go. Give me bigger portions of food.
Let me ask you one question. What about them is American? Just the fact they're from the United States? Is that what it is?
Well, yeah. Literally, that does make them American.
But that's not – then the entire roster can be – or a good portion of the roster could be Americans then.
Well, none of them are quite good enough to be American-made. You know what I mean?
I quit. And Jeroy J is agreeing with you. I quit.
Jeroy J, says Flobo is gatekeeping Americanness. Yeah.
Is he going to show up, throw a clothesline, and leave?
No, he's going to stay in the ring for some time before getting out.
My bus.
Real quick, we got a logo reveal. It said there's a circle of PFR, FRP, or RPF, depending on where you start and where you look at it. I don't know if you guys saw this. Jimmy, what do you think this is?
I literally have no idea. I wish I had a guess, but I don't have a guess because I could come up with something weird and strange and crazy, but this is one of those deals where, okay, we saw it. I guess we got to wait for the big reveal, whatever it is.
Flobo, is Veer coming or is, I think that, my pick is Viking Raiders. I think that's what it's their turn of them, but what do you think?
That would be hilarious if Veer returns, but a surprise this time. I'm unexpected me coming. Viking Raiders are the one that seemed to me the most because of Sarah Logan or Valhalla is on maternity leave. But I think they're almost whole. That'd be what it would be. But I also think they might be the next target for the White Six. So I'm hoping it's someone that can really go toe to toe with them for weeks on end, and that would fit that bill.
Beer Money says Viking Raiders. Danny Cochran says real powerful Flobo is what the RPS stands for. But that leads me. We mentioned the Wyatt Six. Jimmy, I want to go back to you. We got a little trailer from the Wyatt Six. It looks like they're still doing stuff. They had a lot of momentum. They beat American Made, but now we find them in a situation where, once again, I don't really know what's next for them. Are they cooling off? Do you think they what do we do with the Wyatt Six?
See, that's a challenging thing because you have a group like this and it's hard to keep them babyface because babyface groups don't outnumber the heel groups. Mm-hmm. See, that's why if I go back to the bloodline thing with Roman and Cody, the new bloodline or bloodline 2.0, there's four members right now. Roman technically is alone right now. So that's why it works for having Roman the babyface in this situation. The Wyatt Six outnumber everybody. So it's really tough to book a group or a faction that outnumbers everybody as baby faces and make it, you know, like, you know, people go, oh, look, they overcome the odds because that's what baby faces do. But they, the odds are with them, not against them. So that's going to be tough, I think.
Yeah, Flobo, if you've got the pen, what do you, you said you hate fantasy booking, so fantasy book
for us. This is why you're a troll, man. You're healing me.
What do you do with White Sox? I'm trying, because I'm with Jimmy. I don't really know where they can go next. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what they do. What do you do with the Wyatt six?
It's hard because we don't really know why. Well, we do know why we went to chat, but we don't know what it is. Is it the fact that he was a jerk? Was it the fact he's the former champion? I think you want to be able to establish a pattern with your first two victims to see who would be next, but I don't know. I mean, it took so long. It was so drawn out. It really could be absolutely anybody. So this might be just a reset thing moving forward, or if you care about the long-term booking of things, it can almost be like the conscience of WWE when someone becomes an uber jerk, lights go out, and that's a new target for a month, kind of like that, almost like the Phantom of the Opera or the Spectre if you're a DC Comics guy.
Oh, that's cool. That'd be kind of a cool idea. Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, I feel like the easy answer is to say they go after Judgment Day, but Judgment Day's got its own things, and I don't really know if I care to watch Judgment Day versus Wyatt Six for any extended period of time.
Loomis hater.
I don't hate. I fear Loomis. That has been established.
I fear now. I get it.
Speaking of Judgment Day, they had a couple segments. They butted heads with Ilya Dragunov, and Dragon Lee beat Carlito. Jimmy, any takeaways from these segments? I feel like holding pattern kind of segments.
Yeah, I think they were just there. There is a little bit of a story, I guess, with Dragon Lee and Carlito and the NWO. But at the same time, because, you know, yeah, it's 3 hours. You got to fill three hours somehow, and you can't keep doing vignettes and backstage interviews and nice videos. So it was a good match. Nothing wrong with it. But it was just there.
Yeah.
Wait. Can I say something about that Dragon Lee guy? Because I'd be very critical of Mr. Lee, and I always think that he has a good theme song, but the matches aren't good. But I will say his presentation was the best I've seen. I mean, the dragon thing is a bit on the nose, looks very medieval times. But at least I know what he's going for, instead of just being, I'm a cool luchador with the name Dragon. He's going to actually be Drago on WWE. The match itself, to tell you the truth, I can't even recall it. But I thought the intro was pretty dope. So, hey.
I loved the Dragon outfit he came out in. Like you said, Drago from Lucha Underground. And by the way, Dragon Lee has the coolest entrance music. I mean, when he comes out, walk it through the flames. I'm like, let's go. Unholy Union take a loss to Damage Control. They look like they are going to go on to have a tag team championship shot down the road. And Pure Fusion Collective says all other groups are losers. Jimmy, any, these are the final segments of the night. Any real takeaways from these?
Not a whole lot. I just found it interesting that Bianca and Jade again came off sounding like the heels in this thing, the way they were talking to them in the gorilla position.
Yeah.
Which I found interesting. You know, a little overconfident, for lack of a better term, but their presentation sounded a little and felt a little heelish, which I thought was interesting. And I will say that the video we saw with the Pure Fusion Collective, I thought for Shayna Baszler, that was the best she sounded in forever.
Tut Graf says all other groups are losers is such a sick burn.
Just sick burn.
But yeah, you're right. I actually liked the video for Pure Fusion Collective. I do feel like their win-loss record is too spotty for me to take them too seriously at this point. But Flobo, I want your thoughts as well on Jade and Bianca. I've always said they're too overpowered. I don't believe anyone stands a chance. So when they're like, hey, we're going to beat you up, they kind of come off as bullies.
Oh, absolutely. They bullied. But I guess I was okay with it because they have a visitor's pass. But when Jimmy mentioned, I go, yeah, I guess they are worth the heels. I just kind of figured, hey, look, we're on your show to say we can stand our ground. But they're so strong and Damage Control has been so weak because it's been decimated with the roster. It does seem a bit overpowering. So I'm with you guys. You guys have swayed me.
Yeah. So that was it. That was the show. We got this was kind of a I'm gonna be honest with you guys. This was kind of like a filler episode of Raw.
Whoa! What are you talking about?
As we wrap up, we'll let
new IC champion is a filler episode.
Well, that was fire. That was walking through the flames, Dragon Lee.
Walking through the flames.
But I don't know. I mean, am I wrong, guy? Look, I'm always positive. I just watching this, I felt like half the show was pre-taped video packages. I don't know. Well, let me give your guys' thoughts. Jimmy, you just came back from a long trip to a beautiful place. Welcome back to reality. Let us know where the world can find you. And final thoughts on this Raw.
Like you said, I thought it was okay. I thought it was bookend pretty well. I thought the beginning and the end were the strong points of the show, and the stuff in the middle, some of it was okay. Some of it was kind of like, you know, there. But again, overall, I would say okay. And as far as where you can find me back here on Monday nights and on Wednesday nights after Dynamite. You can find me on the Reffing It Up podcast with my good brother in stripes, Brian Hebner, and RJ, who holds that glue together this week. Jack, our guest.
My boy.
I could be serious for a minute. Lance Storm.
Whoa!
With him this week. And also, up here in Canada, on TSN Radio and iHeartRadio, Huge Pop Radio, where myself and Donnie DeSilva have a radio show here on Sundays from 11 p.m. till midnight. And that's new, and we've only been going a couple of weeks, so come check us out there. We're having a lot of fun with that. And, of course, my Ref and Rants are back Mondays or Fridays, just spitting out what I think needs tightening up. That's all.
Now, when is the Lance Storm episode coming up?
We're recording it tomorrow evening, and it'll drop Wednesday morning.
Ooh, I'm excited. I'm going to tune into that one. I'm going to definitely like, comment, share, subscribe on that one. Flobo Boyce, how about yourself? What are your final thoughts, and where can we'll find you online?
You got to watch or see Jimmy Corderas on Twitter where he was in Greece. Total heel, just going after the marks and trolls. That was the most entertaining thing. Raw was great. I believe Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark would beat up Sonya Deville if wrestling were real. That's just the side note there. But I loved it. It was solid. I would say I zoned out sometimes today's Raw, but maybe because I felt like this was a show that they realized halfway through they have another week to go home, so they kind of took some time with pacing. Other than that, though, you can follow me on that platform as well, at Flobo Boys on that X. I am having a bit of a crisis of conscience with Draped in Gold, our NXT talk show, where me alongside Jack Farmer break down NXT. This could be our last week. It could not be. We're still trying to figure that out with the move to CW. But in the meantime, check out my sports blog, justthesandwich.com, where I talk about sports, culture, and comedy.
Yeah, we're in a tough spot because we don't know if we're going to be able to see NXT in time for watching to review it afterwards. So that's where we're at with Draped in Gold. So everyone should tune in, by the way, Wednesday morning, 10 a.m. Pacific time, maybe the last episode. We're going to get cut short because Flobo's got to do some other big Mr. Fancy Pants interview with somebody who I don't know if he wants to talk about, but I will.
I'm actually interviewing Justin Guarini from American Idol, so I have to cut the episode short.
How Jimmy Corderas, how Hollywood entertainment world is that? This could be your last episode ever. Anyways, could you cut it short? Justin Guarini has an interview. He's got to come in just a little bit. So could you clear your stuff out?
Yeah, there's Flobo big timing us.
Big timing us. I'm timing myself.
Jeez,
man, I'm sorry.
I tried to put over your show, and then I just stuck.
I'm American made, dang it.
Hey, wait a minute. Did you just say sorry?
Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, that's not very American. That's Canadian.
That's Canadian.
Yeah, yeah, we're Canadian.
I'm so sorry. For everything.
We don't apologize. Even America. We just take up more space.
Right. Even if it's your fault, we apologize.
Yeah. So I love Canada.
We just, here in America, we just use our credit cards and get family meals. That's what we do, baby. That's how we go. Shoot up those fireworks.
Bang, bang.
Follow me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. Follow at Wrestling Inc. for all the latest wrestling news. And check out the NXT After Show right here on Wrestling Inc. tomorrow. That does it for us. We're hitting that American-made end stream.
This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.